What's up, everybody? Fan Culture Podcast, episode 42. Thank y'all for tuning in again. We got Sakani, we got Brandon. How y'all feeling?
What up, what up?
Feeling good, feeling good. How about you?
I'm good, I'm good. Yeah, can't complain. No Carl with us tonight, but that's okay. We'll keep it pushing without him. So first things first, I mean, we got to talk NBA. We got to talk about the Lakers winning their 17th championship. First off, let the record show that I was right when we made my predictions. I said Lakers in six. Sure. So I want to say that's like the second time I got like one of them things right. I'm pretty sure I predicted like another series and I was spot on. So I don't know. I'm on a roll. But I guess, Brandon, you're our Lakers fan. So you got the floor first. How you feeling? What do you think about this title run?
Man, it's different to like go into the season and really have confidence in like a team. You know, you can be confident any team LeBron James is on, at least making it to the finals for that matter. But to have AD and just you know, the how the organization kind of bounced back and got solid players. We drafted a lot of, well, we acquired a lot of solid dudes. So, and just to win a finals in like 10 years is awesome to see. I couldn't even believe it. And I just hope we were able to win another one, you know? And just like, the way they pay tribute to Kobe and Gigi. And as a basketball fan, I feel like it made this year, I don't want to say, I'll just say better. I was going to say tolerable, but I mean, with COVID and everything's going on, we weren't even sure we was going to have, you know, finals. So I'm just appreciative. And I applaud the way the NBA has handled COVID, not only COVID, but just, you know, addressing police brutality in this country and systemic racism and injustices that occur on a daily basis every day in this country. So I think they should be applauded as a league, and I think other leagues should take note from them. But it just feels good to be a champion again as a Laker fan.
All right. So, Connie, what are your thoughts about the Lakers title run or even just the bubble in general?
It was just different. Honestly, it felt – this was a finals that, like, because the play was like, as good as it was, I would have loved to have seen – like crowd reactions.
Yeah.
And see how that would have like impacted series. Because yeah, crowd energy is just different. And you know how that momentum can sort of shift the, you know, the pace of a game, if the crowd is in it. So, yeah, it was.
That's one thing
I can different, but
from people, just random, not just random people, but just whenever I would talk basketball with other people, I would hear, man, it's been good, but I just wish like it was like in front of crowds and stuff. But yeah, I mean, it definitely makes a difference to a degree. I hear a lot of people have been talking about where does this playoffs and final series stack up because of the bubble and because of the isolation, being away from like family and not having the crowd and having to go through like the different requirements of the bubble and COVID. I don't know. What do you guys kind of like think about?
For me, I'll say that I actually enjoyed the bubble a lot. And I, at least while COVID's a thing, I wouldn't mind seeing this principle moving forward. I think a lot of people, especially ones that have never played sports before at any sort of competitive level, be it, you know, high school or above, I think most people don't understand the effects of a crowd on the dynamics of a game. Like, let's say, for example, if this NBA final was played, you know, in the home arenas with full arenas, whatever, a guy like Kendrick Nunn, young guy, rookie, I don't think he steps up and makes some of the plays that he did in some of the game, in some of Miami's wins. I don't think he plays that well. Young guys usually don't know how to react to crowd noise and stuff like that. It's usually the vets. Mm-hmm. So honestly, the finals might have been more lopsided and favored towards the Lakers if there was crowd noise, because you got to got a team full of vets. You know what I mean? Like, Rondo don't care about playing on the road. That don't mean nothing to him. You know, AD, Bron, Markieff Morris, JaVale, Dwight Howard. But on the flip side, with the Heat, you know, Duncan Robinson hasn't been in that environment before. We kind of forgot all about Tyler Hero because he was an afterthought, you know, in the finals. But, yeah, you know, guys like Kendrick Nunn, Derrick Jones Jr., kind of all those younger guys, I don't think that they would have responded as well to, like, that pendulum that constantly swings in the finals and how that momentum can swing in the finals. I kind of appreciate the bubble because it's just who's the better team, period. You know what I mean? Like, not know, okay, well, AD, you know, got in foul trouble in game two in L.A., and then they had the two games in Miami. If he wasn't shooting off in the games in Miami, the series would have been different. Like, I feel like there were less likely to be flukes, I guess you can say, in the bubble, in my opinion. So I enjoyed the environment, and I think that a lot of players played with more confidence. You saw the pace was a little faster, and it wasn't like the slow-down playoffs, one-on-one matchups, and, well, Bron's going to shoot the ball every possession, AD's going to shoot the ball every possession. It was just more fluid basketball. So for me, I enjoyed the aspect of bubble ball, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Before I forget, salute the Miami Heat. Hats off to Jimmy Butler and crew. Eric Spoelstra is one heck of a coach. Definitely made the series. I mean, almost went to seven games, so six games. That's more than half of the of the series. So shout out to them.
Fun fact for Jimmy Butler, just from his first finals appearance, he's already now, I want to say, top five in triple doubles in the finals with two. Jeez. So not many players have triple doubles in the finals in the, for their career, and he's got two already. So yeah, shout out to
Jimmy. Jimmy Buckets.
But what I was gonna say, I think another thing is that, like, we mentioned this before, is that the atmosphere felt more rec league-ish, and I feel like because of that, we saw players able to just shut the crowd out and be like, "Oh, I don't even have to worry about that. I'm gonna ball," and that's it.
Yeah.
Sorry, did I cut out?
Yeah.
But no, I was saying, like, we just got to see players ball and not worry about crowd. And it felt very much like, oh, we're all in the gym, and mano y mano, we're gonna do this. Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's not about everything else. Crowds, sound. Like, granted, there is, like, the sound factor, but it's like it's just us in here, teams and team staff.
Yeah. Right. And I guess I'll ask you guys this. I think I already know how you guys feel about it. Is there an asterisk on this championship?
I don't think so. I mean, it's sanctioned by the NBA, and this is the best they could do given the circumstances of COVID. Like, nobody could – it was either have – finish out the season or we just don't have basketball. And I feel like there shouldn't be an asterisk next to it because the league okayed it. The one thing that to me differed the most, not just the crowds, but like the travel. Like you're not going to go play, like Sakani was saying, a Staples Center. But these rookies would have dropped the same kind of buckets just playing in front of a Staples Center's crowd, knowing the history behind that, knowing that you're playing against LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who are, I mean, this whole team, they have this whole city backed by them. How many Kobe chants would we have heard? You know what I mean? So I think it's just some of those things could have not only added another entertainment element, but like it adds like the fatigue, you know, flying to city to city or busing to city to city. That to me, is one of the reasons why I felt like it was better basketball at times, only because guys, they're going right back to their room, right? Which is like, what, less than 30 minutes away. And you know what I mean? You get to recover. It's just like, honestly, it's better because you spend more time around your opponents. You get to learn like your opponents a little bit more. I heard they were like getting breakfast together, like where they were like they would come back from like a game and like they'd be like in the same elevator with one another. Like how, like I mean, yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like psychologically it's just different to me. It's just different. But
the thing is, like, well, I think another part that's crazy about that is like, you start seeing less and less players there too. As you know, I'm sure like after they had the seeding rounds, it's like bunch of players aren't here anymore. And then first round, you're seeing even less players. And then divisional round, you're seeing even less. And then conference finals, it's like, damn, we're the last four teams here. You know, you're seeing people less and less. And, you know, just literally seeing the competition dwindle. Visually, I think is another thing that is like wild to even think about.
right. I think that what happened, Brandon?
I said it's just another added mental factor of the game we haven't really experienced, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, I guess to answer my original question, there shouldn't be an asterisk on this championship. I'm not in the boat that says this is the toughest championship ever, but it's definitely not the easiest, how, you know, some of the old heads are trying to make it seem like. For me, I think that this was the most level playing field in any playoff ever, because you could be an 8 seed and, you know, in Portland, for example, you don't have to worry about going to LA. You just got to worry about playing your best basketball, period. And you've got a chance to knock off the Lakers. And then on the flip side, you know, Miami as a 5 seed obviously made the finals. They were just playing great basketball in the playoffs. That's ultimately what it came down to. So for me, I think it was the most level playing field. No one had to travel. So it's not a, you know, hey, well, we're traveling, you know, 2,000 miles and they're only traveling across the way. Like, exactly. Yeah. Imagine if the conference finals would have been, you know, the two LA teams playing against each other. But then in the East, you've got, you know, Milwaukee. But I want, just for purpose of making an argument, Milwaukee and Miami. You know what I mean?
Even Boston and Miami. That's Boston still all the way up the top two.
right. All that stuff would then come back because it's like now you got miles on your body that the LA teams don't have. Because guess what? They were just driving to and from Staples Center for 7 games. So
what if it was Denver?
It's most level.
Huh? Well, not Denver. Bill, my bad. Yeah, Denver, right? Mm-hmm. If it was Denver, LA, that high elevation.
Yeah, that's true too. They would have that to their advantage. I think it was just the most level playing field. Everyone was going through those same battles of, you know, I guess the impact on your mental state. You know, everyone had their teammates around them. Everyone was away from their families. Like, everyone had the same circumstance. And I understand, you know, there may be things going on outside the bubble, which obviously we saw players leave the bubble for a certain reason. But other than that, it was the most level playing field. Everyone's going through that stuff. So what are you going to do? What are you guys going to do as a team? How are the coaches going to prepare their players for those circumstances? Like, and for me, I just think that I won't say the strongest, because I mean, when we start talking mental health, that's toxic to say that. But, ultimately those that put themselves in the best position and made the best, you know, adjustments, they ended up where they needed to be at. And the Lakers were the best at making the adjustments while playing great basketball. So, you know, hats off to them. I think that they deserved it 100%. I'm not in the boat that says, oh, well, if they would have played the Clippers, not the Clippers had to take care of business. So that was on them.
What is y'all biggest takeaway, but like what's one moment that you will remember this bubble for?
Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray. That was that, and you're not gonna get that. You're not gonna get that in an arena. Like we're not gonna see something like that again. So that was probably the most memorable for me. Well, maybe not the most memorable, but it's up there. That's one of the first things I think about.
Yeah, I'm gonna say the first round just overall was like, all right, this is what we're seeing. Like so many moments, I think, in that first round. Denver, their 3-1 comebacks, both of those I think were just memorable as hell. Like I think we did have that the year the Cavs won it. Golden State had come back from 3-1, and then the Cavs came back from 3-1. So, you know, we did get to see two comebacks then, but to see it happen with the same team twice, I think was just like another level of, damn, these guys are hungry. Yeah. And, it was just dope, I think.
And I'll also say the other thing for me real quick is the Clippers collapse, because I think we all – practically knew that it was going to be Clippers and Lakers conference finals. We knew one way or another that was going to happen. And then with them being up 3-1, okay, they blow the 16-point lead. All right, game six.
That's fine.
19, oh, yeah, they're going to go see
got this.
Game seven, nah, the Clippers are finally going to get it together. Up 12, and they get the hand off the floor in the second half. Anybody predicted that? So that sticks out as well. Clippers collapses. Yeah. That's one for the eight. That's a historic collapse.
Shannon Sharp had me weak when he said that they caused Doc his job.
Listen, that I think that cost Doc his job.
For real, sure.
Straight up.
Yeah, like that. That initiates that conversation of, okay, well, do you want to call this a mutual split or do we got to fire you, Doc? Like, no, something's got to happen here. So what you going to do? Like,
yeah. You're not staying.
It's unfortunate. Exactly. Good coach, but I really don't know what happened with that whole thing. I think mentally it might have taken a toll on the biggest parts of that nucleus. But or the biggest contributors, they just seem, when I saw them play, a lot of times it just seemed like they weren't really like locked in, unless they was like whooping up on a team. I forgot who they was playing. I think it was before they actually we got into like our actual like the playoff run when they played Portland
in the seeding game. Oh well, yeah. Well, they beat Portland with their starters all on the bench. And shout out to that game, because that game caused a lot of drama, and that made the collapse even funnier, because now you got Dame and CJ. And
yeah.
Karma. So.
But for me, I would say the biggest two things I remember was like the shot AD made in the Western Conference Finals. That was legendary. And he did it. And the fact that he wore Kobe's all year in, like, all colorways, y'all know I'm a sneakerhead. Like, and those Kobe's are so fire. Just to, like, that shot, I think, really solidified him as, like, being a true Laker and, you know, contributing adding to the chapter of being like a Laker and, you know, his legacy. How long that'll be, I don't know, but that was just really dope to see. And just I was really impressed with all the like the young guys in the playoffs. I think even in like the preliminary rounds, you can kind of see on each team like who the guy was. You know, Devin Booker with that crazy like buzzer beater. I remember like even like that was getting was causing like more excitement and more buzz for the playoffs. Just seeing like great basketball again. So I'm gonna miss basketball or watching basketball for a while, but man, I'm really trying to play though. Everything's closed.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking to still see the rims not on the backboards on outdoor parks and stuff. It's just I feel like it's like unconstitutional.
Word. It's wrong. I'm gonna tell you this. Also, another thing, they I was talking to you about this, Brandon. I'm 95% sure they didn't take down like tennis courts or volleyball nets or
they did
exactly.
Sterl said the same thing too. Because when we went to go play at Clovis East, I think this was a couple months ago now. He was like, he was talking about like the lighting, but also, no, I think it was like the lighting. Yeah, the lighting. He was like, bro, they ain't like, there's plenty of lighting. If you wanted to come here late at night, there's no lighting for like the courts at all. So, yeah, there's a.
They know who's playing basketball and they know who's playing tennis.
Right. But why do you have spotlights on the tennis courts, but like not on the basketball courts?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's inherently racist. We'll just acknowledge that.
Exactly.
All right, but I guess real quick on the Lakers before we move on. I know Brandon, you and Carl kind of talked about it on the last episode. So I guess more so for Sakani, does this finals win, does this move LeBron in the GOAT conversation at all for you?
I don't know. I feel like you already have your mind made up about LeBron. It's either you think his accomplishments are valid enough to warrant him as being like the greatest of all time. One thing I think I was thinking about this recently is that like the what we call blemishes on his career are like the finals losses. The thinking about that, like I don't think any of this finals performance is going to be like a blemish on Jimmy Butler's career. So if we're really talking about like what a finals performance is and what you do, is the only stat that matters just the win at the end of the game, or is it how you perform? I think consistently we've seen LeBron perform ridiculously like in the finals. I mean, his numbers always go up whenever he's there. So yeah, it's just like I've been impressed. I think once the Clippers were eliminated and Milwaukee was eliminated, it was like, I think this is going to be a cakewalk for the Lakers at this point to win the series. I didn't think, when I say cakewalk, I meant that, I knew they were going to win. Like, at the end of the day, I didn't think Miami was going to beat them. I didn't think Denver was going to beat them. I didn't think Boston would. And, yeah, those are the three teams left. And so I didn't think any of those teams would beat them. And so it was just like, well.
Waiting for the inevitable.
Exactly. And so you knew LeBron was going to get his, you know, third MVP with the third team. And so it's like. That's a great accomplishment because nobody's ever done that before. But does it mean anything really? I don't think it necessarily is like a – we didn't know you couldn't do this.
Like, Two things. One, I've never heard a truer statement, which you said that people have kind of made their mind up about – I'm about to say Michael Jordan. LeBron James –
Now, when you think of GOAT, you automatically think MJ, at least to a lot of people. My favorite player is Kobe, who Carl asked me, who do I think the GOAT is? I'd say Mike still, but I do think that LeBron is one of the GOATs. Like, there's always going to be somebody who's your favorite, but, like, I feel like you can't be, top five in everything in the playoffs and not be, like, to me, like, one of, like, stat-wise, how can you not be one of the GOATs? I think in three-pointers, he's only, in the playoffs, he's only trailing Steph Curry, and he's the best shooter of all time. So, at his position, you look at, like,
I'm gonna say this though. To that, Klay's gonna pass that up next year.
Probably.
Klay's gonna be not probably. Here. Like, he will.
The second thing I was gonna say before I forget, I don't think you even answered Sid's question. Did you? I don't know.
Like, what are my thoughts of this on his career? Or, like, yeah, as far as, like, GOAT status.
Yeah.
Did this change anything for me? No. I don't think this championship changed anything. It's still, like, again, it's hard to think about how we're comparing players. That's just the hardest thing. Like, because honestly, I would make the argument that Mike has less Eastern Conference championships than LeBron does. And so if we're going to talk about accomplishments, that is an accomplishment. We can't just say the finals loss is all that comes out of that. And so if we're going to talk about getting your team to the precipice, and all they got to do is just, you know, help you push your way back up, or push your way up that last step. I mean, thinking about teams that LeBron has carried, that is like I would not have given him a chance against the Spurs, his first season. I wouldn't have given him a chance against any of the KD Warriors. And so it was just like it's unfortunate that his team's lost and those are blemishes on his career, but I think overall, when you look at his body of work, it's like, damn, he's at this point, I don't know how much I'm going to just continue to only look at the losses as a blemish. Because, I mean, how many players make it to the finals? One. How many players? I mean, yes, going undefeated when you're there, amazing. And that's nothing to blink at, or nothing to, like, push to the side as, like, a whatever type of accomplishment. I don't know who else will do that and win MVP of the finals every single time that they do that. But I think another thing that comes up when you have this GOAT debate is, like, how does the team perform when you're not there anymore? And we see a constant just decline whenever LeBron leaves a team. Miami didn't have one as badly because they still had Bosch and Wade. But still, it's just like LeBron went on and, you know, was able to get the right pieces around him to continue to make these championship runs. And when healthy, he's consistently there.
Yeah. So, for me, I don't think that – I guess I'll say that I don't think that him winning this championship moved him along the ranks, for me at least. For me, I believe that it did solidify him in, at worst, the top four. So in top four, for me, I'm talking MJ, Kareem, Kobe, and Bron. I've probably got him third behind Kareem and Jordan right now. I heard someone explain it today, and it was like so simple. And for some reason, I'd never really thought about it like that. So if LeBron wins two more and he reaches six championships, sure, Mike is undefeated, you know, six rings, you know, no game sevens, all that stuff. But if you've got someone that has the same amount of rings and they made double the appearances in the finals than you did, I mean, that's kind of hard to like go against. You know what I mean? Like, I made it to the finals and I won as much as you did. Like, you can't just necessarily just say, well, you made it there and you lost. So, you know, but 3-6 sounded bad. Yeah. But if he ends up 6-6, you know, when it's all said and done,
12 appearances in the finals.
Like, he's already, the thing is, like, the other crazy thing is,
he's almost there.
He's been to the finals more times than he hasn't. Like, he's a walking finals appearance almost at this point. Just the way that he plays the game and sees the game, it's like, damn.
And I heard someone say about LeBron, they said basically over the last 10 years, if LeBron is healthy, there's a 100% likelihood of him making the finals. Like, what?
Bro.
That's crazy. The one year he did.
Yeah, exactly. Since 2011.
Yeah, 2011. My bad. That's when.
So, I mean, it's wild to think about. So, I mean, for me, it solidified him in that top four. For me, I've got him at three. I don't see him going – I don't see how he could go lower than below Kobe. Or, you know, I don't see how you can have Magic, Bird in front of him after he's won his fourth, given all his personal accolades. And for me, the stuff that I take into account for when it comes to LeBron is not once has he had a Hall of Fame head coach unless Spoelstra makes it in there somehow. He didn't get to
– Again, and we'll also say this. Spoelstra has LeBron to thank very much.
for sure. Because he was just going to be – I think he was always going to be an underrated coach if he never, you know, got
exactly.
LeBron.
And, one of those Mike Budenholzers.
Exactly. So he never had a Hall of Fame coach. He's gone, obviously, to three different franchises, to Cleveland twice, and he's delivered there from, you know, when they were basically abysmal teams before that. But yes, to do it without a Hall of Fame head coach, I mean, even as great as Kobe is, Kobe's greatest work was with Phil. Like,
we can't take away Pat Riley from Miami, because Pat is the Hall of Fame presence that I think allowed for LeBron to sort of adapt that mentality, and then also playing in the Olympics with Kobe sort of helps, you know, shift things for him and get things in gear.
Yeah, and to be fair, I think he had to have Dwayne Wade hand him, you know, the keys for LeBron to elevate to where he is right now. I think that he needed that. But I look at those things when it comes to LeBron. I think about the fact that, the finals appearances matter to me. Like, yes, Jordan won six, but he won six in what, 15 years? 14 years that he played in the league? What about those other 6 years that he didn't make even a finals appearance?
But we also can say this. I mean, technically, for the last years that Jordan played full seasons, he also was a walking finals win.
Yeah, that's true too, and that's very fair. I mean, there's only been what, four three-peats or three three-peats in the modern era, and he's got two of them.
Yeah.
So
exactly,
I mean, it's like I'm saying, it's not something where it's like easily. I don't think I'll ever say easily LeBron is the GOAT. Like, but if he can get to six, it's kind of hard to go against him. Like, given where
he number one. Will he have to be finals MVP in those?
I don't necessarily think so. But he can't be – he's got to be in the conversation. I don't think that he can be like a – he can't be like 15-7-7, you know.
He can't be like Rondo.
Right. Like, He's got to be like, it's got to be this 1-2 punch like they're doing. Because AD, you could make the argument that AD was in the mix. It was really game three that kind of knocked him out because he only had 15 points in game three. But if LeBron is 24-8-8 in two more, you know, championship runs.
If AD isn't – the thing is, if AD isn't averaging a double-double with over 30 points, I'll say over 28 points. If AD's putting up double-double numbers over 28 a game, I think that could topple LeBron, depending on how dominant defensively he is as well. Like, just his presence on the inside, because we know that was what shifted things when he wasn't able to put up offensive numbers. We know that defensively he was a presence. And I think that, like, game six – had he had the type of game six that he had consistently, like, how many points did he put up in game six? Like 24?
Something like that.
If he had put up 24 points per game during that stint, possibly he could have still been in the MVP discussion. But I think because of that 15-pointer and it was a loss, like, had he done 15 and they'd still won, it could have been different. But I think – yeah, I mean, and in both of those losses, LeBron also balled his ass off. That's what
regular season MVP. Isn't it supposed to go to the best player on the best team?
That was Giannis. That was Giannis.
He had the best record. Yeah, and we can. What happened?
Huh?
They didn't win though. So how are they the best?
It's a regular season award.
And honestly, we could talk regular season MVP all the time, because I have my own thoughts about it. I think there should be another, like, postseason award, maybe not
just – it's the finals MVP, though. Is that not
– finals MVP, because sometimes
– I mean, that's the best – but, I mean
– that's the best player for a
season. Right.
If you're going to win
a series.
Yeah, finals MVP, right, Sakani?
But it's like when it most mattered, your team had the most, like, the most wins, and you were the player who, in the end, changed the series or altered the series or gave the best performance of that series.
Yeah.
So I feel like that is the award of the playoffs.
And I think maybe a thing that kind of annoys me most about regular season MVP is you get into the conversation of most valuable player. Oh, well, we just said all this amazing stuff about LeBron. You have people say, well, LeBron should be MVP every year. Should it be like most outstanding player, you know, or something like that? Most outstanding player for the regular season. Giannis had an amazing regular season. We all acknowledge that. So he's the most outstanding, but maybe he's not the most valuable player, because you can't even get your team to win in the playoffs when it really matters.
Who's the MVP award named after?
For the finals?
No, not for the finals, just regular season.
I don't even know.
Do you think that could end up happening? Because, you know, that, like, when I'm not going to say I didn't miss David Stern. I mean, not David Stern.
Adam Silver?
Adam Silver saying, like, I'm sure this man will have a trophy named after him sometime soon. I'd like.
But how would that be?
Huh?
Being snubbed, like, year after year, and then, like, to have it eventually named after you.
Because they know you should.
Exactly. I mean, when you're never not, like, top three in voting, except for last year, like.
Shannon Sharp be having weak. He said, they can do them every year. For real. Nah, but that would be funny, though, in the extreme.
I think it is always awkward how MVP is named during, like, the playoffs, though. Like, second round of the playoffs. Like,
yeah.
Like that. Like, especially if you guys do your voting early. Like, if you do your – like, even this year, they finished their voting in March. Why are we naming MVP?
Which was terrible.
Like, why?
Terrible.
So, yeah, I didn't like that.
Y'all counted them. The day y'all count them up, announce it.
Right. Man, the election, like, you ain't got a bunch of mail-in ballots, so you still trying to count, you know, later.
It's only what, 200 of y'all?
Nah, like it's not that.
If that many,
y'all could have hired me part time and I could have done that. Like if that's only one, y'all need an extra. Like I got you.
Right.
Well, I guess
I could have done it in the afternoon.
Right, for real. So I guess before we move on to NFL, very last thing on the Lakers. Do you guys think that they'll repeat next year?
I don't know. I can't say that confidently.
Yeah, it's a way too early prediction. We don't even know how free agency is going to play out or the draft.
I'm going to say no.
My way too early prediction is no, too. But they're going to be in the mix, so it's not like they're trash. Not going to make the playoffs, yeah.
Let's put it back, yo. No, I'm kidding.
So you think you're going to win? Brandon said they're going to win. Lock that in.
Yeah.
We keep the right pieces, like the nucleus that we have. I say we already have AD. I hear Dwight Howard is planning on re-signing. JaVale, I mean, it'd be nice to have JaVale back, too. I mean, I'm not really
– get rid of JaVale and sign DeMarcus.
Hey, I feel bad for Boogie. He just can't get a ring.
He's, like, this close to getting it each time, too.
Yeah. I mean, does he not get one for that Warrior season?
I forgot about that one.
Well, they lost.
Oh, that's right. That was last year. They lost. Yeah.
Yeah, he was supposed to have a ring this year, but
stuff. Keep Alex Caruso. I say still keep Kuz. Like I'm not mad at like Kuz and his. Well, now when he start like really sticking up the joint. Like, all right, y'all, let's go in a different direction. But to me, I mean, what is this, third year in the league? Like,
yeah,
they're going to be developing as a player. He hit some key buckets down
his fourth, isn't it?
Is it his fourth?
Is it his third?
I don't know.
I feel like it's his fourth. Because he's – did he come in same year as Lonzo or the year after – the year before Lonzo?
The same year.
Okay, so then it's year three.
Okay.
All right, well – I'll say this, and I'll this will be my boldest prediction of the night. If the Lakers keep Kuzma, they won't repeat, for sure.
Bet.
I think that's real.
That's my hardest take of the night.
We should definitely keep Rondo.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Like if you have those two minds on a basketball team, you're making it to the Western Conference Finals. LeBron and
Rondo.
Yeah.
Should we re-sign the floor? Who?
Should we re-sign Danny Green or not?
Hey,
I feel like y'all could have had JR. JR would have been way more effective in the lineup than Danny Green, to be honest.
I'll double down. If you keep either Danny Green or Kuzma, y'all ain't winning.
Ooh.
That's my take.
Danny's about to get JR'd.
Yeah.
Like, yes, y'all won the series, but, like, first of all, you the tattoo that you have on you is, like, no longer – you can't call yourself that anymore, even though you're still 40% from the field for your career. It's like when it mattered most –
Is that bullseye? Huh? Is that about the bullseye tattoo?
Deadshot?
Yeah, Deadshot.
Oh, is it Deadshot?
Yeah, Deadshot.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was bullseye on his shoulder.
Yeah, no, he can't remove the tattoo, bro. Like, remove
it. Exactly. So it's like, I feel like he's in very many ways, like, we saw all the memes where it was just like LeBron doing the.
Oh, the whole JR?
Exactly. Same thing.
Danny on there?
Yeah.
Danny and Markieff. Markieff got a lot less flack for what went wrong. Same way George Hill got a lot less flack for missing two free throws.
Yeah, that was a terrible pass.
I would have
like, been, where were you passing the ball, bro?
I would have, like, bro, just shoot it. Like, that's fine. The game, you like just shoot it, like it's fine.
He could have
Don't throw it out of bounds. Like,
his brother would have shot it. Marcus Ooh. Morris would have shot it.
No, nah, he would have got a tech. Because he would have been him and somebody up.
He would have been headbutting somebody.
Yeah. He would have started right after the game.
Yeah, shout out to Markieff Morris, man.
But yeah, man, it was one eventful year. It's gonna be nice to see it come back when it does.
Future's
real bright.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see when they decide to pick up the season. I'll be paying close attention to that, and obviously free agency and the draft. Someone's gonna try to retool to beat the Lakers now, so we'll see what happens to these rosters moving forward. All right, so let's move on to NFL. I don't have nothing to report on my Broncos. I think I don't even think you guys registered in the group text when we were asking about our teams. And I said, I see nothing bad from the Broncos because our game got postponed. We didn't even play. So I got nothing to report on them. But, I mean, obviously you guys as Cowboys fans, the biggest news is, you know, Dak's injury. How are you guys feeling about Andy Dalton leading you guys to potentially try to get another NFC East crown?
Honestly, like the way the season started, we were about to lose to the Giants, even with Dak putting up the numbers that he was putting. So unless our defense can really get it together, I don't think it matters who's under helm. Like Andy Dalton, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott. I think our defense is so. The Giants put up 34 points against the Cowboys. Like, how?
They look like an elite team. You know what I mean? And they don't even have Saquon.
Most offenses look elite against us.
They don't even have Saquon right now. And it's insane. We definitely would have lost that game if they would have had Saquon. But I remember earlier that week, or not that earlier that week, the day that it happened, so on Sunday, I came home from work. And we were talking about it in the kitchen. It was me, Brian, and my mom. And I forgot what my mom said. but me and Brian looked at each other. It was just like, our defense is trash. And then Brian goes, yeah, y'all defense ain't no good. But it's just one of those things where I really don't know what it'll take to have like a solid overall team, because one year we'll have solid offense, or we've never really had solid defense, but we'll have stints where we'll have like solid defensive play, but like we never, I don't know, maybe we're not investing enough in our defenses, each year, or maybe our drafts are not like panning out, but. Yeah, man.
I feel like Rod Marinelli is still our big problem defensively. Like he was great the first 2 years we had him. It was like, oh, Rod's doing the damn thing. But the past 3 years, I feel like he has.
Well, the thing is, I think y'all need him back because he's not even there. It's Mike Nolan, who hasn't been a defensive coordinator since.
Oh, Mike Nolan.
Yeah, he hasn't been a defensive coordinator since like 2014. And mind you,
why?
Because he was a defensive coordinator with the Falcons. The Falcons have never been known for defense. So,
bruh, come.
But like, he hasn't been a defensive coordinator in 6 years, and now you're just gonna go run the Cowboys, who have Super Bowl aspirations, and say, "Oh yeah,
hey, looking I'm like them." Them SpongeBob memes, like the Mr. Krabs when he see them defensive sets, you like
it's bad. The defense is terrible. I feel bad for Dak because Dak always has to do this like come from behind stuff, and it reflects bad on him. Probably
trying to do too much.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's always trying to do too much because he has.
Yeah.
Like. You can't.
The thing is,
hand the ball to Zeke because you're down 17-3. So You're not going to get Zeke, you know, 30 carries when you're down 17-3. Like, so that's going to have to throw
in the first quarter.
Yeah. To the Giants.
In the first quarter.
It's pathetic. It's pathetic. Hey, you know, I think because of what's going on with the Cowboys defense, I think people are not seeing that. Is Amari Cooper doing like load management every other game? He's there one game, then he's gone the next. He's there one game, then he's gone the next. Like, he's playing, but, like, his stats aren't there.
Exactly.
Like, disappearing act, bro. He's so
inconsistent. Like, that's exactly who he was on the Raiders. Inconsistent. And now we're starting.
Not, like, getting
over. I don't know if he's – I don't know if there's drops. Any of y'all have him on fantasy?
I have him on.
No, I need to stay away. I stay away.
On fantasy, it'll let you know if he has any drops.
I mean, he hasn't had, like, numbers the first, like, 2 weeks, but he like, gets some points. Most of my points.
What's some points? Like, is right. he getting over 15?
Nah. Probably, yeah.
Nah. I think the last one he scored was, like, 14.
Is that – what's his highest for the season?
I think it's, like, in the 20s, like, 23.
He probably got maybe one of those in the season.
I think, like, that was one of the first – I think the first game or the second game. But, yeah, man, it's just – and we're Cowboys fans. And we're laughing at our team because it's, like, when you've had this long of a stint of just, like, losing season or just kind of, like, under par – like performances, it's like it's kind of it's laughable at that point.
Y'all are lucky though because of the NFC East. So therefore, you can have struggles like this early, and if you just decide to get together at some point, string a couple wins together, you're in first place.
Man,
but the thing is, then it's playoffs, and then we're still gonna lose.
Hey,
then we're gonna go against real teams.
Better than the other, you know.
Yeah, but the chance, like, I feel like, again, like, Dallas just doesn't have the pieces. Like, even if we met Andy Dalton is the Tony Romo of this generation, can't win a playoff game to save his life. He's been there five times, I think, or four times. No playoff wins. And so I just don't think he's going to be the person to all of a sudden string it together with an offense that he's known for half a year and take us on a Super Bowl run. So as much as I would love to have that type of faith that, hey, it's the NFC East and, you know, we could pull something together, I really think the Eagles have a better chance than we do. And the Eagles are just as abysmal. But I trust they're getting it together more than I trust Dallas is getting it together.
Mm-hmm. With that being no, I feel like nobody really was expecting us to win a Super Bowl this year anyways. But I feel like they're definitely not expecting it now because of Dak. What would be, I guess, any consolation for this season? Would it be playoff win, two playoff win, a conference championship? Like, what should the Lakers
– like, top five pick. That's a consolation for this season, a top five pick.
I think the consolation for this season is 8-8 because regardless of what goes on, y'all always find a way to come back to 8-8. Always.
I need a top. When Romo went down, we got Zeke. So,
you're like 4-12.
I'm hoping exactly. I'm hoping for a solid 4. Zeke.
No, I said, who do we need to draft?
Like, no. We need a safety. We need DBs.
Because we don't,
but we need DBs.
We don't have any elite defensive players.
I mean, honestly, at this point.
On our line, we do.
You guys don't have anything to lose. Do you just sign Earl Thomas? Like, not playing for a Super Bowl. So why not just play?
Does he want to do that, though? But does Earl want to sign, like, just for a season? Like, he would probably want to sign at least a 2 to 3 year contract. That way he can be Super Bowl eligible, possibly, if the Cowboys make it another season. So, I mean, yeah, he can try to bet on himself. But if shit doesn't go well and he ends up not being re-signed, it's like
– I feel like it's not in his favor to wait, though, because he's, what, 30, 31 years old? The longer you sit, the less likely a team is to pick you up. You know what I mean? So, like, if you're
– For sure.
If you're going
to – But if he wants to be in Dallas – Because I know he wants to be in Dallas. And so if – this might not be the year to be in Dallas, but if that's something that can happen later on when we're actually, you know, contending, then I think that's better just in Earl's eyes, I think. And then also for Dallas, it's like, why pick up a you know, better than most safety when chances are you're really not going to be competing for a Super Bowl this year?
More
like your player who was playing at an MVP level. Yeah, but I mean,
Jerry,
we have enough headlines without. Yeah, but we have enough headlines.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Like,
for
sure. I think the splash is not going to be what's really needed. Also, hearing how Earl Thomas has been accepted in locker rooms, it's not like, you know, peaches and cream across the board. Exactly. So,
yeah. No, that's real. That's real. I feel you on that. I don't know where the Cowboys would go from here, honestly. I think they just ride it out and see how far they can get with this squad. Yeah. And if it's not far, then it's not far. You wait till Dak come back next year, or hopefully, honestly, they just re-sign Dak. That's the biggest.
I pray we do.
Yeah.
I pray that we do and that we're able to. Because Dak might feel like, yo, I should have had this security already, and y'all were playing games. And if I know another team is out here who will give me my number, because y'all, like, Dallas clearly didn't give him his number. Mm-hmm. And so if there's another team that out here who will do it, the Colts will be happy to sign him, I think. I think the Broncos would be happy to sign him. I think
we like him, but – We like Drew Lock too.
Word, Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many teams that I think could use him and would pay him as well. I don't know if like those are the necessarily the markets for him, but at the end of the day, it's like Tampa Bay. I had no idea that was gonna be I didn't think Tampa Bay was gonna be a market for Brady, yet there he is, and there they are doing what Brady does, and so. If Dak is able to find a solid team away from Dallas, I'm not even going to be upset because I get it. I just hope that's not what happens.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll wait and see what happens with the Cowboys and how their season fares. Let's go on to, I guess we'll talk about just for a quick second, Le'Veon Bell. I got him on my fantasy team, so I've been following all the updates. Honestly, he's probably the biggest winner of this entire week of football. You played 17 games with the Jets, got paid $28 million for 17 games, barely even played, and now you get to go sign with the reigning Super Bowl champs and go get some carries and some catches over there.
You know, the thing is with Le'Veon, like, did he play a full season last year?
No.
And so I'm thinking, like, he didn't play the season before because he held out from the Steelers that whole season. And then he didn't play all of last year. And then now this season, like, we haven't really seen him. Like, that last year with the Steelers or the season before that, like, he was a top two back. Yep, he was a top two back.
Like, some people are
exactly.
Yeah. And
so now, like, there's just been is Le'Veon Bell still Le'Veon Bell? I don't know if he still is, but if he is, and that's KD joining the Warriors-esque. Like,
it's just KC is just finds just new ways to like be better. I think that's a perfect storm if you're Kansas City, you know what I mean? Because even if it's a step down, how much of a step down is it? You know, he may not be on the same level he was playing, but I mean, he still can contribute and he can still, I'm pretty sure, give them decent yardage and complete plays. So, yeah.
You know, he's a great out the backfield option. You know, he can, like, he's a great receiver as well. Yeah. So,
I think this was a great move for him because he's 28 years old already. It sucks because he wasted time trying to secure the most money possible in his prime. You're 28 years old now. You're not going to get another big contract. So he's just got to go play to try to get some Super Bowls, you know, ultimately. Like, let's say even if he finishes out this year strong, he might sign a one-year, maybe a two-year deal somewhere. But no one's going to sign him to like a four-year deal for 52
million. What if he puts up at like over 1,000 yards for the rest of the season? Maybe even 1,200.
I could see someone signing him to a 1 or 2 year deal, maybe 20 million, something like that, like 10 million a year. He's not going to get that 14 million that the Jets gave him. Like that's off the table now because, you know, they love to be done with running backs by the time they turn 30. Le'Veon had a lot of touches on him before that. So GMs and executives are just going to, they're going to milk that. And they're going to be like, oh, well, you got 400 touches when you were 25. Maybe that's why you're a step slower, you know, whatever. And therefore have justification not to give him big money.
Whether have the O-line, first of all.
He
just didn't have the O-line in New York. In my opinion, I think, yeah, no quarterback, no O-line, just no coaching, no, like, yeah, it's just
you gotta New York Knicks. Like, coach doesn't even like you. The coach doesn't even like you. Why would he call plays?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. It was good for him to get out of New York, and like I said, I think it's just better for him to get in that situation. Try to win, you know, go get a Super Bowl. Stay quiet as well, because I think that there's this, you know, ongoing discussion about his personality on teams now, because you saw the, you know, how he was removed from Pittsburgh, you know, unceremoniously and stuff like that. So just keep it down, play hard, you know, contribute to a winning team. And I think all that.
Keep the main thing the main thing.
Exactly. And then you can, you know, get a contract, you know, for next year. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. I mentioned fantasy earlier. How you guys feeling about your fantasy teams?
Yo, I wanted Cole Beasley to score 3 points so badly.
I was weak because I wasn't watching the game. I had, like, followed along. And mind you, it was, like, second quarter, and Cole hadn't done anything yet. Cole Beasley, whoever I was going up against – I forgot who I was going up against this past week. But he had Cole Beasley in it. And hadn't done anything like through the second quarter. I'm like, I'm good. And then I like came like in the fourth quarter. And yeah, I'm only up by 3 points. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. But that's the second time I've been fortunate to win a close one, because I think I beat Clarence's team. And that one was controversial too, because I think I won. And then they did like some stats recalculation, and then I lost. And then they did some stats recalculation again, and then I won. So
okay.
I won by less than half a point.
My damn.
So I'm still 5-0. Ironically,
you beat me. You beat me because I had a bye week, or not a bye week, but COVID week with teams not playing. I had to pick up some busts.
It's been tough to navigate that too. Like, honestly, I'm probably going to lose this week to Brandon because Michael Thomas is on a bye. Dalvin Cook is hurt. Le'Veon's not going to play because of COVID protocols. So even though he just signed with the Chiefs, he can't play until next week.
I've got running backs. Running backs who put up numbers too.
What do you need?
Most of my running backs this week, I have four running backs. I think all of them put up over 15 points.
Do you need receivers? Because I got receivers.
I'll check. I'll see what you got.
Yeah, look. Maybe we'll have to make a trade happen. We'll check it out.
I could
all right.
Two games, but I forgot it to start people. Or I guessed wrong on a start.
Yeah, well, keep forgetting to start people this week.
Yeah.
But no, you might have to come off one of them quarterbacks though. I might have to get one from you. Because you got what? Mahomes, Brady, and Cam?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I need a running back. My running back, I just got Leonard Fournette and I got Gurley. Gurley had his first solid game, I think, last week.
Yeah, sounds like we both gonna have to make trades with Sakani then.
Yeah.
We'll see. I was trying to get my
hair done, so I'll talk to y'all later.
All right then, bro.
All right. Love you. All
right.
Love you.
Love you, bro. But I was trying to get the tight end you picked up from Green Bay. Yes.
You're talking about Tanyan.
Yes, Tanyan.
And honestly,
I was about to pick him up on waivers the same week you picked him up, and I was like, damn. And so go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, and you see all I did was pick him up, and I traded him immediately.
I did. I saw that, and I was like, ah! I definitely wanted him, but I picked up who was it? Dallas's tight end, just because, I mean, I think it was before Dak went down, it was smart to have really almost any Dallas offensive player because the numbers Dak was putting up.
Yeah.
And so I needed a tight end. I had Gronk, dropped him. I have Mike Gesicki or Gesicki. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to say his name, from Miami. And he's been solid, I mean, throughout the season, averaging roughly around like 12 points a game, so I'm not upset with it.
Yeah.
I mean, if he can continue that, that's great. The Giants tight end who I picked up as well. Evan Ingram, yes. He didn't have a great game last week, but I also didn't start him. And so I'm okay with that. But hopefully he's someone who will, you know, just be a consistent point grabber for me. But, yeah, I've been looking for, like, a solid, like, number two tight end.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I'm waiting on my team to get healthy because I've got four guys on my team that are hurt, and they're all, like, decent scorers. So, I mean, I've got Michael Thomas, who's only played one game and got hurt. Dalvin Cook, those are my number. Those are my first two picks.
Top two picks. That's my highest
scores, and I'm without them right now, which is good. I picked up Alshon Jeffrey, who's supposed to play soon, and then Noah Fant, the Broncos tight end. Zach Ertz has been a disappointment this year. I thought I was going to get a lot of points from Zach Ertz, and he's
been like Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham used to be a stat machine.
Exactly. Like Zach Ertz is. Zach Ertz was Carson Wentz's favorite target, and now he doesn't even throw him the ball. So, I don't know. It's unpredictable. But, I found a way to still be 5-0, so hopefully when my team gets healthy, I'll probably have some more tradable assets. I might try to stack the deck a little more. If I can get my hands – Aaron Rodgers is playing well, but if I can get, like, Patrick Mahomes, oh, it's a wrap. Like, but I might have the him to pull that off.
Who has Patrick Mahomes? Like Brandon?
Because he has Mahomes, Cam, and Brady. He doesn't need all three of them.
I was about to go for Cam, and then Brandon picked him up. That like literally that pick.
Yeah.
Before I, and so it was like, all right, well, I'll go with Jared Allen, which I'm not upset about at all, because he's been consistent.
Josh Allen has been amazing. He's looking like an MVP candidate.
Like I said, Jared Allen. Yeah. My fault.
No, he's been amazing. Yeah, Josh. He's been amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah, but no, it's been
a fun year.
Yeah, it's been
Same here. I don't have any complaints so far. And fortunately, like most of my, the only player that I had injured was running back from the Bills, Zach Moss. And he was supposed to be like their number one and went down, I think, after like the first game. If he comes back and is like healthy again, he'll be another 15 pointer per game. But I have Mostert, Derrick Henry,
Beast.
I was about to say Tyreek Hill, but he's a wide receiver, not a running back. But he's still putting up like sometimes 40 rushing yards a game,
right.
And two other running backs I can't remember. But yeah, they've all been solid. Mm-hmm. So if you're coming with the solid, fodder, I might bite.
I'm gonna look at what you got and what you may need and see what we can do. So, for sure. All right. Well, I think we got a whole episode covered. You got anything else you want to add?
It's baseball playoffs right now.
Oh yeah.
And last week, the Yankees lost. They got eliminated, which I was upset about. But currently, at least for the American League, it's Houston Astros and the Tampa Bay Rays. And Tampa Bay Rays were up 3-1, but Astros won on a walk-off homer tonight, which was pretty amazing to see. Yeah. It's still hard to, like, as much as it's hard for me to say I hate a team, but after learning what the Astros did, like, I'm like, oh, fuck the Astros.
Weren't the Rays up 3-0 in the series at one point?
Were they?
I thought they were at one point.
Oh, I didn't know.
I was hoping the Astros were going to get swept. I would love to see that.
Same. But I was also thinking, like, I would love for the Dodgers and Astros to be able to run it back.
Mm.
And the Dodgers be able to actually win the World Series that they lost to the Astros, where that cheating scandal happened. That's so that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Huh?
I said that's poetic justice.
Exactly. Like, I would love for that to happen. But, I mean, that would be four straight or five straight World Series now for the Dodgers.
And they'll have one to their name, which is crazy. I don't know what it is with the Dodgers. I mean, mind you, I don't mind it because I mean, if I have I'm a Giants fan, so I pledge allegiance to a team, I'm rocking with the Giants. So I love to see it, but I just don't know what it is. I mean, because they always have one of probably the three most talented rosters in baseball. You know, in memory, and they just never see it through. So,
we'll see how playoffs end up. But
shout out to the Braves, because I mean, it's been a while since the Braves.
That's who I'm going for.
Uh-huh.
That's who I'm rooting for, the Braves. I don't want to see. I'm just not a fan of LA fans. That's what it is, and I don't want to see LA fans happy. they've had enough joy already this season.
It's something about LA fans in general, man. I don't know what it is. They're the most obnoxious.
Yeah,
LA. We're the best city. We have the best teams, so we're better than you.
And the best weather. So yeah, exactly. I never really want to see LA teams happy, but that's just my own being a hater, and I acknowledge that. I embrace that. I want the Braves to win it because I don't want the Rays to win it. They're in the AL East. The Rays, I don't want to win it, and then I definitely don't want Houston to win it. Right. So, yes, yeah, it's the Braves in six in the World Series.
Yeah, there we go. Hey, wait. Your mom said bet Tampa in game
My
five.
Mom was right.
So
Miami won game five.
Yeah, well, yeah, she said Miami won game five, but now with the World Series, maybe she was even forecasting that. So really, maybe it's Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay in game five. And of five. The World Series. Oh.
She's on to something, man. I'm telling you.
If it is.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'll go double down on
that. That would be crazy. Exactly. Tampa and five.
Yeah,
so she was talking about NBA, but didn't realize it.
Right, exactly. So, I guess by the time we do our next episode, it'll be the World Series by that point. So we'll have to keep up with our updates there and see what the matchups are at that time. It's likely going to be, you know, Tampa and Atlanta, but you know, series still aren't over yet. So we'll see how it plays out. You know how baseball is, it's unpredictable.
Word, exactly.
All right.
Well, yeah. Anything else for you? Anything else to add?
No, I don't think so. I think it got all covered. Man, I'm just excited for football season. I mean, I'm concerned about how it's going, you know, because of COVID. But you might not see a full season, honestly, when it's all said and done.
Seriously.
With the way things are going. But I don't have much sympathy for the NFL because they had the most time as a league to get protocols
in place.
And they just thought – I think they just thought COVID was – So
I feel like NFL is very much like schools during this time. Like, y'all have had the time to get something together, yet y'all don't know if your kids should go to school, kids should be in school, yeah. How we're doing this online thing. Like,
yeah. It
y'all they have look, had time.
They look like that shocked Pikachu meme. If that's what they look like. You know what you mean when I'm talking
exactly.
about?
Yeah. That's what they exactly. Look like.
Exactly. So.
Oh, we were supposed to get things ready. Oh.
Exactly. So we'll keep tabs on the NFL and see what happens there. But I don't have anything else to add. It's been a great episode. It's always good to see y'all. Good to rock with y'all. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's
enough to add.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another episode, y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in again. And until next time, peace.